It's Monday, November 16th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org, and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. Glad to have you here, and I want to start off by apologizing for Saturday night and our normal show live. We so badly wanted to get a live show going from the Cannabis Cafe in Portland, Oregon, but we were beset by technical difficulties and couldn't complete the show. Part of this was the fact that Southwest Airlines' flight from Las Vegas to Portland, that was bringing me back from Albuquerque, New Mexico, was delayed by 2 hours. We got out to the runway, and right before it was our time to take off, they said we had to go back to the gate because there was a fuel leak coming from the wing. So we brought the plane back, got everyone off the plane, all the bags off the plane. They brought in a new plane, and that took 2 hours out of the day, which was my 2 hours to do all the technical checks at the Cannabis Cafe. So we ran down there as quick as we could. We set up. We tried to do the show, but the wireless connection was very spotty, kept dropping the show. So we just abandoned it for Saturday night. We will be back there, though, this coming Saturday night to do the show again. And we're going to get a hard wire there so that we can get a much better connection because it is truly an amazing place. It's not a medical marijuana dispensary with a cafe. There's been a lot of talk about whether or not this is the first cannabis cafe in America. Folks from the Bay Area, Berkeley Patients Group and Oaksterdam, have been kind of complaining because they've got medication areas as well as in Southern Oregon in Medford. They have a cannabis community center that allows people to medicate to patients that can verify their ID and so on. And there's some dispensaries in Colorado that are doing the same thing. So the difference I would say is that it's not a medical marijuana dispensary with a cafe. It's a cafe for medical marijuana patients. There is no dispensing going on at all. I mean, well, patients can visit the vapor bar and a bud tender will load up a vaporizer for them. Or if you want to smoke, they'll load up a little ceramic bowl for you that you can take the ground weed and put it into your bowl or to a joint. But there's no buying or selling of marijuana going on. The club is maintained by member dues, and you can buy soft drinks and muffins and all sorts of other snacks to eat, but the marijuana itself is absolutely free. There is no buying or selling of marijuana in the Oregon Medical Marijuana Act. It's quite an amazing thing for people to just be freely smoking and using cannabis without any concern for the price. So it is a slightly different tack on how to run a cannabis cafe. I don't care whether it's the first, the last, or the one in the middle. It's an amazing thing. So we'll be back there next Saturday to do normal show live from the cafe. We'll also be taking your calls and comments at 347-994-1810. Now, coming up on today's Daily Audio Stash, we'll begin with your cannabis community calendar, followed by our hemp headlines. We've got a story on two patients groups, Americans for Safe Access and the Union of Medical Marijuana Patients in Los Angeles, threatening to sue the city if they come up with new regulations that would eliminate the dispensaries. Our good friends Cheech and Chong are announcing their new tour, the Get It Legal Tour, and I've got information on that, including the cities, and a little clip of their debate with Fox News' Ann Coulter, so check that out. And the Washington Post today has a story on aging folks, seniors, baby boomers, who are beginning to become more vocal about their use of marijuana. For our Daily Toker Tunes, today is Roots Monday, so we'll be playing the John Weiss Trio, some jazz, a tune called Ridin' High. And we give you two interviews for today. We've got our High Times preview that we would have played on Friday, except for it was our special from the Drug Policy Conference. So Dave Bienenstock, the senior editor of High Times, will be joining us to preview the issue that's hitting newsstands now. And my live interview with Madeline Martinez at the Cannabis Cafe from Saturday's live show that got cut off because of the technical difficulties. I've got the complete recording of it. All that and more coming up on your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Something fat and long, pack me a boat or fill me a bomb. It only comes twice a day, but I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
It's time for your cannabis community calendar, available online at normal.org/calendar. To get your events added to the calendar, send me an email with the subject calendar request to stash@normal.org. Wednesday, November 18th, Oberlin College Normal will be holding a marijuana policy panel and discussion at the Science Center West Lecture Hall. Also on Wednesday, the Simply Stupid concert will be at the House of Blues in Cleveland, Ohio, and Normal will be tabling at the concert. And in Michigan, Benzie County Normal will be having their meeting on Wednesday as well. Thursday, November 19th, Philly Normal has their open meeting at the A Space in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And there will be on Thursday as well a weekly meeting with Cher Neufer, the founder of North Ohio Normal. And Oberlin College Normal has their meeting in Ohio as well on Thursday, November 19th. Saturday, November 21st, Normal Show Live is on the air at live.normal.org, coming to you from Oregon Normal's Cannabis Cafe in Portland, Oregon. And on Sunday, November 22nd, there's a special medical cannabis dispensary law workshop in Los Angeles with members of the Normal Legal Committee teaching everyone in the cannabis business industry what they need to know to be legal under California law. For more information on all of these events, including dates, times, contact information, maps, and websites, visit our calendar at normal.org/calendar.
It's a normal shout-out.
Our shout-out today is brought to you by the letter N. It kind of feels like Sesame Street today because all of our states that we're looking to recruit normal members for begin with the letter N today. First of all, Nebraska Normal. There's been some problems with their website, so that's down right at the moment, and they have some new contact information that I just added to the database today. And they are desperately looking for more members to get involved both in the Lincoln and Omaha areas. So if you're in the state of Nebraska, send me an email at stash@normal.org. Likewise, there's been some reorganization with Nevada Normal. We're getting some new contact information up on the board for them. So if you're in the Las Vegas area and would like to get involved with Nevada Normal, send me an email at stash@normal.org. I was just down in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I got to meet Desra Noel. She is the secretary for New Mexico Normal, which has also seen some board members leave their board, and they're looking for new people who would wish to take their place on the board of Normal New Mexico. So again, send me an email at stash@normal.org if you're interested. And finally, activists in the state of New Hampshire have gotten in touch with me. I spoke with Matt Simon at the Drug Policy Conference in New Mexico just this last weekend, and we are eager to get some New Hampshire activists on board to form a new chapter in the Granite State. So anyone out there in a state that begins with the letter N or anywhere in the country, if you'd like to get involved with Normal, send me an email at stash@normal.org.
76% of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers, and nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and co-workers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML. My name is Keith Strop, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our NORML daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. Groups threaten to sue Los Angeles if medical marijuana dispensaries are banned. From the Los Angeles Times. Two medical marijuana groups are threatening to sue the city of Los Angeles if the city council passes an ordinance that bans the sale of medical marijuana. Two council committees are meeting today to try to finish drafting an ordinance that contains the controversial provision. Dispensary operators have consistently said they are uncertain they could stay open with such a restriction. Most collectives, which are required to be not-for-profit, sell marijuana to their members, but they consider it a donation to reimburse their costs. The prohibition on sales was written by the city attorney's office. In a lengthy analysis of state law and court decisions, city attorney Carmen Trutnich concluded that over-the-counter sales of medical marijuana are not allowed. Instead, he said, collectives are shielded from prosecution only when they are growing it. Both medical marijuana organizations, the Union of Medical Marijuana Patients and Americans for Safe Access, take issue with Trutnich's view, saying he has misinterpreted the law and court decisions. In other news, City Attorney Trutnich and the City Council have announced plans to close the barn door after the horse has bolted. Creating some regulations that clearly spelled out the rights and responsibilities of collectives in Los Angeles County is a great plan for 2006 or 2007. But it is almost 2010, and there are almost 1,000 retail outlets selling marijuana in the city and county. What do you expect the backlash will be when tens of thousands of Los Angelinos can no longer browse and pick up their marijuana in a safe, indoor, controlled retail outlet, and instead must return to the back alleys and city parks of the black market marijuana dealer? What will happen when customers accustomed to convenience and quality have to return to waiting for a callback from their guy for a bag of questionable quality and lightweight? For one thing, most of the successful dispensaries will go semi-underground and become delivery services. The rest will go back to the way things used to run, dealing in the street and through clandestine networks. The prices will increase, access will decrease, and truly sick and disabled patients will suffer needlessly. The proliferation of dispensaries in Los Angeles and the unseemly nature of a few of them is not the fault of the entrepreneurs who want to run a legitimate and lawful business and help satisfy a community need. It is the fault of cowardly and moralistic politicians who refuse to take action to implement the will of the people, as expressed in Proposition 215. Cheech and Chong confirm the Get It Legal 2010 Tour. From CheechandChongTour.com. Get It Legal is the follow-up to their hugely successful reunion tour, Cheech and Chong Light Up America, where they perform together for the first time in over 25 years. The pop culture duo performed for more than 100 audiences and quickly became one of the most sought-after shows of 2008 through 2009. Additionally, their performance in San Antonio, Texas was filmed by the Weinstein Company and will be released as Cheech and Chong's Hey Watch This on 420 of next year. Quote, "We had an amazing time last year reconnecting with each other and our fans in a way that felt like it was part of our DNA. We were meant to be together," end quote, said Cheech Marin. Quote, "In 2010, we are looking forward to doing more classic material that people haven't seen for years and years, performing more of our songs and introducing some new bits. We've had material brewing separately for the past 25 years," end quote, said Tommy Chong. The Cheech and Chong Get It Legal Tour is scheduled to make 17 stops across North America, including Boulder, Indianapolis, Baltimore, Bellingham, Portland, Santa Barbara, Tampa, Minneapolis, Rockford, Detroit, Louisville, D.C., Bakersfield, Phoenix, and Fort Worth, with Canadian stops in Regina and Saskatoon. Additional dates to be announced soon. Chong's wife and comedy partner Shelby Chong will open all dates on the tour, as well as DJ Joey Mojo. Fan club members will have access to pre-sale tickets beginning tomorrow, November 17th, at CheechandChongTour.com. This is really good news that Cheech and Chong are back out on tour and they're partnering up with Marijuana Policy Project to provide more information on legalization and how people can get involved. I'm working my contacts. I met Cheech and Chong's manager while I was down there in San Bernardino, and I'll see if we can't get some normal tables out there on the tours as well. Also, when they come here to Portland, Oregon, I'm going to do what I can to get a backstage pass and hopefully get an interview with both Cheech and Chong. But speaking of interviews, there was a really interesting video that I've got posted up at stash.normal.org. It was on Geraldo at Large, his show on the Fox News Channel, and it featured Cheech and Chong, who ended up on a panel with, of all people, conservative author Ann Coulter. I just wanted to play you one part of Coulter's statements.
Everybody I know who needs pot because they're going through chemo or whatever, or they just like it, have no trouble getting it and don't get busted.
Yes, and I'm sure that all of the people you know, all the white, suburban, upper and middle class professionals in New York and Los Angeles, have no problem getting a hold of pot if they really want to, and if they get caught, they usually don't suffer very many consequences. But you can tell that to the emailer I received last week who lives in Mississippi, was busted for a stem and received an $1,100 fine and 6 months driver's license suspension. You can talk to the many people who email me all the time who have lost their job because a probation from a marijuana charge prevents them from being able to travel, and that kills their ability to do their job that requires lots of travel. You can tell that to the people who are on probation who get caught with a dirty UA and end up getting sent back to prison for their original sentence just because of the marijuana smoking. You can talk to all the Latino and African American kids who live in the urban areas of our cities who are busted disproportionately and have to spend that time in jail because they can't afford bail to get out like a lot of your friends would be able to, Anne. Washington Post examines baby boomers and marijuana. A federal survey of Americans' drug use shows that Joe Lee, a 62-year-old, and his friends are not the only baby boomers approaching the age of retirement, much as they departed the age of Aquarius, with an occasional case of the munchies. The government's most recent survey showed that the share of marijuana users ages 50 to 59 increased 5.1% in 2002 to almost 10% in 2007. Some of those users are empty nesters, returning to the drug decades after their pot habits gave way to raising children and building careers. Others, like Lee, have kept using pot all along, researchers said. Older marijuana users say they are living evidence that smoking pot does not preclude a normal life, and more older smokers seem more comfortable than at any point since their teen years with going public. a tribute, they say, to a big boost in public tolerance of marijuana use. Quote, I don't think more people in their 50s are smoking marijuana. I think we are just more comfortable talking about it, end quote, said Rick Steves, who writes travel guidebooks and hosts a public TV series on travel. At age 54, the clean-cut guru of mass-market European tourism has begun to present himself as the hard-working, successful face of the long-time smoker. Quote, even my pastor knows I smoke pot, end quote, said Steves, who was recently named Lutheran Activist of the Year for his work on international poverty relief. One older smoker who doesn't mind outing herself is Florence Siegel, an 88-year-old artist from New York who has been smoking regularly since her early 50s. That's when the family's pediatrician suggested they try marijuana together to see, quote, what the kids were so excited about, end quote. The pediatrician didn't feel a thing. Siegel said she never stopped. Now her routine is to sit in her favorite chair each evening, listen to Bach, and take a few hits from one of her many pipes. Marijuana boosts her creativity and helps with joint pain that comes along with aging, she said. Siegel smokes occasionally with her daughter, Lauren Siegel, age 64, a recently retired lawyer. But does her 93-year-old husband ever join her? Quote, oh no, she said. Well, only very rarely, end quote. I know some 60, 70, and 80-year-olds who occasionally use cannabis, and some who still drink coffee. And a few who even still use alcohol and tobacco. I can't say that I've ever met one yet who was an active cocaine, heroin, or methamphetamine user. There's a joke in medical marijuana circles that after age 40, all use is medical. But there's a certain grain of truth to that. Even as I approach just age 42, I can feel pain in my knees and back that never used to bother me before. When you think of the things marijuana can be used to treat, arthritis, chronic pain, Alzheimer's, cancer, and so on, it seems to be a natural fit for many seniors who'd prefer an herbal remedy over a handful of increasingly expensive pills.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook wove all of his collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you tunes for Roots Monday, our celebration of the music that evolved into the popular modern forms of today. We pick the best of blues, country, folk, and jazz with a 420 feel and serve it up for you every Monday. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on the Daily Audio Stash, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes. Today's Roots Monday tune takes us on a musical journey through rhythms and moods of contemporary jazz. The John Weiss Trio features pianist, vocalist John Weiss, and jazz vocalist Rochelle Thompson, along with drummer Al Hicks and bassist Fred Zabin. I'm not sure why that doesn't make them a quartet, but maybe it's the John Weiss Trio featuring Rochelle Thompson. Regardless, John, Rochelle, Al, and Fred have played with many jazz greats, and you can hear their solid chops on this album, Migrating Songbirds. Today's Toker tune is entitled Ridin' High and reminds us all how the cannabis culture in America had its roots in the jazz of the 20s and 30s. So get hep, Vipers. It's the John Weiss Trio with Ridin' High.
Life's great, life's grand, future all planned. No more clouds in the sky. How am I riding? I'm riding high. Someone I love, mad for my love. So long, Jonah, goodbye. How am I riding? I'm riding high. Floating on solid ceiling, doting on the cards I'm dealing, gloating because I'm feeling so happy. I'm slap happy. So ring bells, sing songs, beat guns, blow horns. All love never will die. How am I riding? I'm riding. On a solid ceiling, doting on the cards I'm doing, gloating because I'm feeling so happy. I'm slap happy. So ring bells, sing songs, blow horns, beat guns. Our love never will die. How am I riding? I'm right, I'm right, I'm right. Ride, ride,
ride. There is a peaceful solution called a peace revolution. And now let's take back America.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Like millions of freedom-loving Americans, I'm a marijuana smoker, and I don't think that should be any of the government's business. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana. Next time you light up, take the time to let your elected officials know how you feel. It's time we legalize marijuana and stop treating marijuana smokers like criminals. The For more information on how you can help legalize marijuana, please contact Normal at NORML.org.
Since 1970, Normal has been fighting for the rights of all adults who use cannabis responsibly. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has been the chronicle of the cannabis community. Every second Friday of the month, we bring that working relationship to the Normal Daily Audio Stash with our special guest, Senior Editor Dave Bienenstock, author of the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook, for our exclusive monthly preview of this month's issue of High Times. Well, it's time to check out the new issue of High Times Magazine, which should be coming to your mailbox or at a newsstand near you very soon. And as always, joining us is the senior editor from High Times, Dave Bienenstock. Welcome back, Dave.
Hey, Russ.
It's been a while since we've had a chance to talk here, but of course, it's time for the new High Times Magazine to come out. And what's your cover story for this month?
Oh man, honestly, this is one of my favorite issues in a long time. The cover is pretty much is our indoor grow special, and it's the cover is just a huge indoor grow room, actually that I believe was in Spain. And so the story is really an overview that'll just give all the information to the indoor growers who they need to get started and the ones who are up and running, to be even more successful. Like I always say, I don't tell people to grow weed, but if they do, you might as well be successful with it. You might as well do well if you're gonna get involved in that.
All right.
But the issue is it's really packed. We have a great story from the Chu Valley in Kazakhstan, which is just it was kind of something we've heard about, but we had a reporter from that part of the world who basically took a tour through the whole Chu Valley, which is a wild region where cannabis has been growing for thousands of years, but it's also now they're cultivating there and they're making hash. So it's just a really interesting story with beautiful photos and really, an introduction to a place that even most stoners haven't heard of.
Yeah.
But in Russia, it's like the Trinity County of Russia.
Okay. Now, did you send the reporter there to Kazakhstan, or is that a freelancer who contacts you?
This is actually a freelancer who one of our frequent freelancers put us in touch with, and I'm not going to say too, I mean to put his name on it. He's a newspaper reporter in Moscow, and had an opportunity to make this trip. And said, he's very sympathetic to the High Times point of view, so he got in touch with us. And it's that's to me one of the most unique and fun parts of this job is working with writers from around the world and getting all these different perspectives and realizing that it's a global plant and it's a global, community of people.
Yeah, absolutely. And is there any problems when you're dealing with a story like that coming out of Kazakhstan? Do you have any problems clearing it with the Kazakh government? Do they know anything about that? I mean, what's the political attitude toward it in Kazakhstan? Do you know?
Well, I think after the Borat movie, they're probably, that loosened them up. I don't know. It's all right to, we don't ask the American government, permission to publish the magazine, so we're certainly not. The attitude there is an interesting one because, they do, from what the writer tells me, I have to say, from what I've learned reading this story, they're not out to get users of cannabis in Kazakhstan, but they do look to stop the trade in cannabis.
Mm.
So it's an interesting story. They by their own quotes in their own, they don't have the money
right
to worry about cannabis users.
Okay. I also noticed in this month's magazine a feature story on Rick Simpson and his hemp oil.
Yeah, that's another one that's certainly very interesting. That was one of our own reporters, Stephen Hager, who longtime High Times readers definitely know. And I think it's definitely a story that will raise a lot of debate and raise a lot of interest and it's certainly a story you're not going to obviously read elsewhere.
Yeah.
Not yet, you know.
Yeah, that's true. And another thing that High Times is always noted for is your connection with the music community. And you've always got great artists that are sitting down for interviews or you're reviewing their latest works. What can we look forward to in this issue?
Actually, we have, and like I said, this is just, to me, a really excellent issue we put together. Alanis Morissette, a huge international superstar. I mean, we've had really big musicians in the magazine, before, but she is posing in a huge field of outdoor ganja in a state-sanctioned medical marijuana garden. But I can say we've never really had a star of her, her magnitude, photographed in a setting like that. And, you know, I think it says a lot about where we are in this movement right now that somebody like her, who, you know, I think she sang, at the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
And there she is saying, I'm confident enough that I'm following the law that I'm going to pose in this huge garden. I mean, that's fantastic. And
yeah.
Then, you know, she's a great artist, and she's somebody who, you know, she's definitely a big supporter of this cause. She's been on Weeds as well lately, so, you know, we're pretty excited to have her in the magazine.
Yeah, she made a lot of comments about her role in Weeds and how much she enjoyed playing that. That was very good to read. I'm wondering, as the editor of High Times, over this past year, you know, it seems culturally we've seen a lot of improvement and a lot more acceptance of cannabis in this country. Are you finding that in the magazine too? That you're finding, you know, more stories than you could possibly print, or more people coming out that wouldn't come out before, like Alanis?
I mean, slowly but surely, you know what I mean? I think, well, I was just recently in Northern California just before the, attending the Normal convention. And it certainly makes our job as field reporters a lot easier when people, can feel a little more confident in being open about what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when somebody's following the law, it doesn't seem as strange to invite people to come take pictures of you.
Right.
As it does when you're breaking the law. So in that way, on the cultivation side, it also, I mean, I like to joke that, High Times is the only magazine full of good news these days. but it's true, you know, this is a great moment in this movement, and we need to make the most of it, obviously. But it gives us, you know, I've been writing about this plant for quite a while now, and I definitely I prefer writing the story about the guy wheeling 12 pounds of legal pot out of the courthouse, to writing the story about the guy getting in trouble.
Yeah.
And then celebrity-wise, I think that's, you know, I think being able to, it's not just that Alanis Morissette posed with a little nugget, that she's in this huge field. And I think that, you know, hopefully we will have more and more prominent people from all walks of life, you know, feeling that they can come forward in that way.
Yeah, it's been, even just this week, we've seen, Tim Lincecum from the San Francisco Giants, that, all-star pitcher and Cy Young winner, getting caught with a little bit of weed. And, just this week, we've heard from the American Medical Association finally recommending marijuana be moved out of Schedule One. These are incredible times that we're living through here. To wrap up here, as we're looking through the magazine, again, this is our High Times preview, issue. Of course, you've got, your normalizer pages, and we always thank you for putting the normalizer out there, and our Freedom Fighter of the Month, who I think is Eugene Davidovich this month. Any other little nuggets in the magazine that we should be on the lookout for?
Yeah, we didn't even get to talk about Psychedelic Desert Toads.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, you know, better read and absorbed than explained quickly by me, but, you know, there are such a thing as psychedelic toads, and we have a book excerpt from a guy who had an excellent new book about the toads and the experience, and also we have a little bit of an interview with him to go along with it. So that, you know, I mean, it's nothing I'm jumping into line to try first, but it's really interesting to read about, and you know, obviously something that our readers are are interested in, and I certainly would like to watch someone do it.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm ready. I'm not sure I'm ready for a stash that can hop away from you. That sounds a little weird. All right. Well, Dave Bienenstock's the senior editor of High Times Magazine. He joins us on the second Friday of every month so that we can preview what's coming out in the next issue of the Counterculture Journal, the magazine that supports cannabis consumers and has done so since 1974. Dave, thanks so much for joining us here on the Daily Audio Stash.
Always a pleasure. Oh, I should start packing because I'm heading to the Cannabis Cup in a couple of days, and I hope to see some readers and some Stash listeners there, so definitely say hi.
That's right. Tell them the Stash sent you, and we'll get an interview with you while you're out there if we can and get some live reports from the Cannabis Cup.
Oh, that sounds fun.
All right. Thanks a lot, Dave. We'll talk to you next time.
All right. Take care.
The effects of marijuana prohibition are felt by all Americans in every walk of life, regardless of race, creed, color, religion, party politics, social status, wealth, gender, sexual orientation, or even one's use or non-use of marijuana. As the Marijuana Smokers Lobby, Normal hears the stories of these average Americans and brings them to the attention of our policymakers and our fellow citizens in this segment we call Normal Newsmakers. On Saturday, I was very excited to be broadcasting live from the Oregon Normal Cannabis Cafe in Portland, Oregon for Saturday night's Normal Show Live episode. Unfortunately, we had a lot of technical difficulties with the wireless connection, and we were unable to broadcast this entire interview with Normal's Madeline Martinez, the executive director of the chapter, as well as being a board member on Normal's board of directors. So we rejoin the interview now. It's in progress as Madeline is talking about the opening of what appears to be the Pacific Northwest's first cannabis cafe,
where we can gather together with our peers, with people that understand what it's like to be disabled, mm-hmm. and to be ostracized from regular community functions and social activities because of the smell of our medicine, mm-hmm. or because we choose to do it. And not only that, but because we're prevented by law from medicating in public. So this is our little place in the world, and it's amazing the response we've gotten from all over the place. People are asking me, do you want a franchise? What are you going to do? I've been contacted by people in Colorado and in other states just wanting to know, how did you do this? What spurred this on? You know, and it's like anything else. You know, when you need the necessity, mother is, what is it? Necessity is the mother of invention. Yeah. And boy, this mother invented something. You know? It's just a normal mom blazing the Oregon Trail.
That's right.
That's what I like to say.
And this isn't, you know, when people think coffee shops, they think Amsterdam and they think, you know, going in and buying some marijuana. This has nothing to do with buying marijuana.
No, this actually has a lot more to do with giving it away, with, you know, letting your heart lead the way, as our law does. Our law prohibits exchange for consideration.
Right.
And so therefore we set this this up to work with our law, and that prohibits us from selling, but we give it away freely. And the amazing part, Russ, is that last night we started with a set amount of jars of, you know, just little jars that you buy with a little twist top with marijuana in it, probably about 10 jars. We ended up with like maybe 14 jars at the end of the evening. People actually came and donated marijuana. We must have gotten probably a half pound donated to us in the last 2 days. So it's been an amazing and overwhelming outpouring of support from the community. We've had the neighbors come and buy and say, you know what, I am so glad you're here.
Oh, that's good to hear. And this, of course, has been a top story on Reuters today, and it's gone all over the world. I've seen reprints of this in Italian newspapers, Dutch newspapers. I think I saw a French one when I was checking out the Google. So with all this notoriety for the club, do you feel that this is going to cause the feds to have a little closer eye on Oregon? Because Oregon's been pretty, you know, unscathed from any federal interference.
Well, you know, I don't think that we'll have any problem as long as we follow the law and don't have consideration exchanged. You know, we run by membership. that's how we plan to run it, and we think that our model works really well. You know, it's the second day, so it's kind of hard to say that, you know, firmly, but we feel that we do have a good chance. We have a few people here that have been here, our valiant supporters from our community, just saying, come on, let's do it, and they're just amazed, hemming and hawing, looking at all the beautiful flowers here. But, you know, times, they are changing, Russ.
Oh, yeah, and there's been a lot of look at this from the local community. I know in the local news stations have been all over this, and you've been on the news quite a bit here. Did you get a lot of people who had come out that you'd never seen as part of this patient community before? Did it bring out new faces?
It did bring out quite a few new faces. Actually, today was also our second Saturday cardholder meeting, and the interesting part was that the line was all the way to the end of the building here in the front, and it usually doesn't go that far. We had to cut off new members because we were to capacity. Our capacity upstairs is 399, and we were beyond what we could hold up there. So we had to stop that. So yes, it has brought out quite a few new people, and actually people that didn't know we were even here that live in the neighborhood, they weren't aware of the normal meeting. So that goes to show you that we haven't had any problems. But I do want to relay a story that happened last night. Probably about 10 o'clock is when we closed, so it must have been about 8 o'clock at night. This young guy, him and his college sweetheart, they were sitting here doing a studying. I think it sounded like they were medical students, and they were doing their homework. And this one guy was up at the volcano bar, and he said, or the vapor bar, and he said, you know, he goes, this is the kind of an America I want to live in.
Nice.
As he took a hit off the vaporizer, and it was just amazing. I mean, it really made a lump come to my throat and chills, you know, just to see that and to just be experiencing history happening right here.
It is completely a historic event, and of course there are some people that have concerns, and one of the concerns, as I mentioned early, are people that are worried about the driving, that people are going to come here and get medicated and drive away. And one thing I always think is the people who make those points are people that haven't smoked marijuana, usually.
Right.
But what do you have to say about that?
Well, you know what I have to say about it is that people are using medicines every day. People use Vicodins in the morning and go to work and do construction work. We already know about the program here in Oregon that hires people that have that are using really strong pain management medications. We know about a program where the state of Oregon actually subsidizes these people to operate machinery and work in construction. Our own Hoffman Industries, or Hoffman Construction, rather, has a special program with the state. And, you know, we always actually teach people and ask people to act responsibly and not to smoke and drive. So we've asked most of our people to stay here a couple of hours. We know that marijuana wears off in 2 to 4 hours. And so we ask them to sit around, have a muffin, drink some ice water. And if someone is too medicated, we would send them home. We would pay their taxi fare, and or we would pay their bus fare. So we're happy. We have our TriMet goes by here, number 75 and the number 3, and you know, we would be happy to pay their way. So that's how we're going to handle it. But we expect everybody has always, in the 10 years that the Oregon Medical Marijuana Act has been implemented, we haven't really seen a lot of that happen. So
In fact, if you look at the Oregon statistics for workplace accidents, workplace deaths, and DUIs, all of those statistics have gone down in the past 10 years since we've added 21,000 people that are legally able to have a pound and a half of marijuana.
So. I mean, it's just mind-boggling, and people are really afraid, and, you know, there are those who ask, well, aren't you afraid you're going to get robbed? Well, we're not leaving medicine on the premises at night, just like we're not leaving money on the premises at night.
Sure.
So we're taking it home, and, you know, people break into things all the time. I mean, banks have huge plate glass windows, you know, and they're robbed. They don't close them down. You know, unfortunately, these kinds of things happen. But are we worried about it? No, we're not. Okay.
You mentioned earlier about the experience with the patient who'd driven long distances to come to Portland. And I think that's one of the things that people don't understand about a medical marijuana state is they might think once you have medical marijuana, bam, there's marijuana everywhere and everybody can get it. But Oregon, once you get past the Cascades, is a very, very rural state. We got people that live in, let's say, Burns, Oregon, and they're, you know, 100 miles away from anything else.
else.
Exactly.
So that's a very good point about the need for these people to have a place to go. Do you have any estimates or any knowledge of how many of the people attending here are from out of the area?
You know, I don't really know how many are from out of the area, but we have a large amount, I would say a large amount, not maybe not half of our membership are people that actually live in the rural areas, Pendleton, Bend, you know, really pretty far. I don't have a percentage, but they do travel long distances to get over here to these normal meetings.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's about a quarter to 7 p.m. here on the West Coast as we're sitting here in Oregon Normal's Cannabis Cafe. The hours are what, 10 to 10?
They are 10 to 10, and they are Monday through Saturday. We're taking Sunday off just to give a good breather, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, really.
Get some oxygen in our lungs.
Yeah. And at the moment, there's probably a dozen, maybe 15 people here. At the height of yesterday, what was it like? Can you describe the...
Well, we had probably close to 100 people in here. You couldn't see through the smoke. We're going to have to get a stronger filter, obviously. But those vaporizers were going, and most people had their medical delivery devices in their hands. And it was just a wonderful historical evening for all of us. We were all just lit up at the idea of being in here and having the press coverage that we did.
Yeah.
And so I wish you would have been here, Russ.
I wish I was, too.
It was really, really sad.
Well, I have an idea here that we might get some interaction going with our audience. We got a few people out here. So does anyone have any questions or any comments you want to talk about? You don't have to identify yourself in any way, but would you like to say something about being here at the cafe?
Yeah, I have a question.
Oh, let's see if we can get you in here. All right, try it.
I have a question.
Okay.
My question. Are
you
using the name
Rumspankers then? No, I'm not. No, Rumspankers are our business partners, Shelly and Eric Solomon. But no, Oregon Normal and Rumspankers have entered into a partnership for our little cannabis cafe, but it's Oregon Normal's Cannabis Cafe.
Okay. Okay, there we go. I had to get the right one plugged in.
Okay.
Try your mic there.
How about there? Here we are.
There it is.
Mic.
There it is. There's Smoke Dog over there.
So that question was, they're not... It will be changed at some point, Cannabis
No, it's
Cafe?
Not going to be changed. It's Rumspankers, and they present Oregon Normal Cannabis Cafe.
Aha.
So it's a partnership.
Rumspankers presents.
Yeah, there you go.
I see.
They let us be here. They were kind of like, you know, partners.
I still can't get over, you know, I'm sitting here, and I'm looking over across the table here, and there's Smoke Dog, my man, and he's got the old gravity bong out.
Yeah, yeah.
To be sitting in a place in America where this is going on openly, and nobody's... afraid. I mean, it's well lit. This is a nice place, you know, very nicely painted and done. Your son did a lot of the remodeling,
right? Yes, I'm so proud of my son. He came in here, he painted, he worked so hard to get this place going, you know, mommy's dream,
yeah.
You know, my son's going to support me.
Tell me about your support network, because obviously while you get a lot of the attention for bringing these things together as the executive director, who are some of the people behind the scenes that have contributed to make this a reality?
Well, actually, Eric and Shelly Solomon, of course, who are our partners. Anna Diaz, our wonderful director. You, Russ, in many different ways. Renee Palster, John Palster. You know, there's just so many people who work so hard. All of our volunteers that came, there were some guys, Jim and Tim and Brenda, and they all came. Jason and Chuck right there.
Chuck.
I mean, Chucky! Yeah. I mean, all these people came in here. Curtis up there, they came and they worked hard from morning to night to make this happen because they also felt a need for a place to gather together. We're going to get some plasma TVs up on the walls.
I tell you, it'd be nice to watch some college football games here. This would be a good place to watch some college ball.
Yeah, for sure, nice. For sure. Oh, and LK, Larry K, photographer.
Okay.
He has a whole... scrapbook full of pictures for you to put up on.
Oh, we'll have those up on stash.normal.org soon. We have another comment?
I have another question. So what has the community response been? I know there's been a little controversy swirling around. Do the neighbors like us? Do they not like us? How is that shaken down now that we've been open 2 days?
Well, you know, there's some issues that they had with some, you know, there's some people... I don't know how many of you remember the Harper Valley PTA, but
yeah.
You know those people that just are over there at the Harper Valley PTA just saying, well, these people had sex, adult parties upstairs, and oh my goodness gracious, it's just not acceptable. Well, come on, let's all grow up. People have sex. And as long as there's no children or small animals involved, I don't understand what the problem is.
Yeah.
I really don't. I mean, I'm not a person that likes to go watch porn or go to a sex party, but if people want to do it, I don't really care.
Yeah.
You know, as long as they don't want to come into my cannabis cafe and bother me, I don't care.
Yeah.
So I don't understand, but they're very judgmental and they have some issues, but we're beyond that. Shelley and Eric Solomon actually do host alternative groups, and hey, I'm really glad they do, because you know, if it wasn't for them, and you know, the best part about this is they actually had to surrender their liquor license.
Really?
They no longer have a liquor license just for us. Now that's that's what I call heart, baby.
Well, you know, we always say marijuana is safer.
And, it is safer than alcohol.
That's what we're going
to
prove.
And, you know, that's what I was saying to the community when I went to the association meeting, was that, you know, now they won't have the drunk that's going to urinate on their lawn.
There you go.
You know, I mean, really, that we just want something to eat. You know, give me something to eat, give me something to drink, and a place to crash. You know, and we're not going to, we don't mean in the car. We mean we're going to go to sleep. Okay? So that's the reality of us being stoners. But you know, that's been the reaction. The people next door were really excited. Initially they were apprehensive, but then they saw the Japanese tourists standing out front taking pictures with the Oregonian article from last week.
Wow.
So that was pretty impressive. So yeah.
Spreading all across the world.
I want to tell you that we just got a lady in here who said that her friends from Canada were calling her and saying, "You live in Portland. Do you know how historic this is? You better go down there." She goes, "I live less than a mile away. There's no excuse." So she just pulled up too and joined the cafe.
Oh, fantastic.
I know. It's wonderful, Russ.
That's awesome.
I'm just excited you're here tonight.
I'm excited. And you know, I think we might discuss maybe making this a regular thing, because I love the opportunity of being out here. And the live feel to the show, I think, really works well.
It really does.
We'll have to get a hardwire connection. But let's give it up for Madeline Martinez here joining us here.
Thank you, guys.
Live, and you're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. We'll be right back.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent.
We leave you today with the reminder that tomorrow will be our Electric Tuesday, and I'm still reviewing the musical submissions from folks that wanted to be volunteer music editors here at the Stash. I've got a few finalists, and I'm still getting through my emails and listening to the tunes, but it all looks good so far, so in the next couple of weeks, look forward to word from me about how to become a permanent music editor here on The Stash. Also, tomorrow we welcome back Eric Brenner and the California Marijuana Report, the podcast within a podcast, all about what's going on in the Golden State. And if you've got any comments or questions for the Normal Daily Audio Stash, you can always send them to me by email at stash@normal.org. Thanks for downloading the podcast, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.